Hey, everybody. Golf Guys, Brent Gunning and Sam McKee coming to you after a exciting finish at the RBC Canadian Open. Big Shot Bob gets his win and Mac breaks our hearts. It's one of our favorite weeks of the year. We got to see lots of friends. We said hello, friends, to people. It was great to see you in person, bud. Another one's in the books, our beloved RBC Canadian Open.
Yeah, it was a wonderful week. You were there more than me this week. I was there on the weekend. I had a really great time seeing just, you know, it's nice getting to this point of our golf media careers where we're just both such big golf journalists now, where we've been, you know, ingratiated into the golf community here. And it's really just like a reunion every year we go here. We get to see people we haven't seen in a while, get to talk to all our golf media friends, see tons of friends at the course, people stopping us all the way around there. It was a lot of fun. So it was a great finish. Heartbreaker for our beloved Mac. But yeah, I love it. I love it every year. I look forward to it every year. Hamilton was a wonderful host, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, man, it was a really, really, really fun week. Always love it.
I knew Kipper and Bourne was blowing up. I didn't know how famous you were now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Sammy, oh, I love you. Oh, Sammy, who even cares? Why did they let those guys talk on the show? More Sammy. Listen, it was great. It was wonderful watching you be famous. It was great.
I'm not like normal people famous, but like at a sporting event where it's kind of the target audience, it happens a lot. Yeah, it does happen a lot, but that's okay. I love when people come up to me. It's like, I really can't believe that this is happening. So, always thrilled to talk to the fans of Real Kipper and Bourne. I really like it when they're like, I like Leafs talk, because I'm like, yeah, that's the one. It's like, I don't have the shackles of the big boys on me for that one. But yeah, no, it was great. It's great to see everybody out there. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. I echo everything there. Yeah, just one of the best weeks. Running into buds. Buds you didn't expect to see. Buds you did. A lot of buds. It was great. Our bud, Mackenzie Hughes. We've had him on this very show. I don't know. We definitely included it on a golf show pod if we didn't talk to him on a different Sportsnet property. But we chased him around for the early part of Sunday. I was chasing him around a lot of Saturday afternoon as well. I mean, just heartbreak for the guy. We can jump right to 9 if you want, but there were so many kind of little moments leading up to it there. I'm crushed for him. I don't know if you saw his post game. I think it was the tournament Instagram. It might have been the tours. They put up this video of him, and it was haunting. It was like he was talking right to your face. It was so close, the camera in the post. And he was just crushed. And I'm not surprised by that. I mean, I was crushed. So, I wasn't going to win the millions of dollars or the $1 million and the Canadian Open. But I feel awful for the guy. Obviously, Taylor doing it last year probably makes him want it even more. And yeah, there were so many little, you know, bumps and bruises along the way to his finish inside the top 10 still, but I'm crushed for him, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to follow him on Saturday. I was with you a bit inside the ropes, and then I firmly went outside the ropes to meet up with some friends, and we followed along with Mac from, I guess probably we saw him birdie the short par 4. So was that number 5? I'm getting my holes mixed up here.
It's
number 5 together. Or 6. We saw him birdie that, and then we kind of followed him from that place on. And the support that the guy had was unbelievable. Like, it was really, really fun to see everybody kind of throwing behind. And of course, he's Canadian. He's a top Canadian. He's in the mix. But just the passion that the people have to follow along with them. And I think, for, you know, Canadian golf fans, it just shows how far the Canadian golf game has come, just to feel how disappointed you are with a guy that had a wonderful week and he finishes. It was the inside the top 10. We have another
T7. Yeah.
Another Connors who finishes in the top 10. And we have all these guys who are playing great. 5 years ago, we would have killed for that. So I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. Mac clearly would not be taking that with a grain of salt at all. And especially after whatever happened to him on the 9th hole that really seemed to stall his momentum yesterday. But yeah, man, it was a really fun week for him. I'm sure right down the street from his home course, Dundas Valley, you know, a really, really, really supportive crowd. It's definitely bittersweet for him, but yeah, I think probably a little bit more bitter now until he can look back on it a little bit later and look at some of the sweet.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we'll get to nine in a second here. 17 on Saturday. It's a par five. And, you know, Mac gets fired up when he makes a putt or he'll stick something tight. He'll, you know, little quiet fist pump, but he's not the most overly emotional golfer through the ebbs and flows of a round. Like, he seems to do a very good job of kind of staying within himself. And he hit his second shot. He must have had a eagle look that couldn't have been longer than 10 feet if it was even that. And when he hit that shot, again, I had a wonderful purview from right inside the ropes.
Mm.
He club twirled. He like sheathed the sword. He stalked after it like mm-hmm. he was Rory. And you never see that from Mac. And then he missed the putt. And look, he's still birdie 17. You're mm-hmm. not going to cry about it, but it's just, it felt like that would have been the one and, you know, would have changed his position a little bit heading into Sunday. But that one is, yeah. you know, there are a few moments he's going to look back on. That's certainly going to be one of them, but we've talked about it enough. Let's mention it here. Oh, sorry.
He ends up pulling an iron on 18 there.
Yeah.
And he puts it into the stuff on the right mm-hmm. and isn't able to make a par, and he ends yeah. up bogeying 18, which costs him the final group. Right. So
yep.
if he had have made that putt, he would have had a little bit more to play with on 18. Maybe you're thinking a little differently on that tee box after you make a mm-hmm. great eagle. It's a totally different scenario that you're dealing with there. And then he ends up in the second to last group. Not sure that makes any difference, but you're alongside Robert McIntyre.
Yeah.
If it's him and Robert McIntyre in the final group, you can imagine what the fans are going to be doing for Mac. And Robert McIntyre had a couple of shaky moments yeah. throughout that final round where mm-hmm. you're wondering if there had been a massive group of people following him, yeah. supporting a Canadian, it could have been a different story. So that's all, you know, totally, you know, it's a moot point, clearly, but there's just a lot of different ways it could have gone for Mac. And I feel like 17 and 18 were a bit of a killer, yeah. even though he made birdie on 17.
Yeah, I mean, I look at that and you're right. It's impossible to think about it not going somewhat different. I mean, McIntyre felt like the crowd was against him. I don't know if you saw this, like we were there, so we're not seeing it that way, but he didn't like how close the drone pilot was flying to him at a couple of
the
times.
Drone was
sniping
close.
At it.
I gotta say,
I'm not,
I noticed
oh, no, I'm not
it
arguing
multiple
with him.
Times where I was like, damn, that drone is right on top of us here. Like I really did see that. And I really did feel it. And I mean, if you're trying to hit some of the biggest golf shots of your literal mm-hmm. life, I could think that might be a bit distracting, but yeah, continue.
Yeah, totally. And it's just, you can only, you see that if that stuff's getting to him, and again, rightfully so, like it would have annoyed me as well. You can only imagine what the crowd would have been saying. I mean, it would have been, you know, I know Scotsmen and Englishmen aren't necessarily from the same country, but it would have felt like it was Tommy Fleetwood all over again of the right. crowd going one way there. So we mentioned it. Nine was the massive swing point. Mac makes yeah. he makes a birdie on six, and mm-hmm. you and I both looked at each other like, oh wow, like here we go. He's
he
gonna
made
do this
a
thing.
Birdie on yeah. six. Maybe the most obscene two I've seen in a very long time. That yes. hole, you know, we're right inside the ropes. You're standing behind, like you are standing where a person who would be getting ready to hit that golf shot is standing, mm-hmm. and you're looking at that. And you're like, if I made a five here, I'd be thrilled. Like, it is an insane shot. 249-yard par three, kind of over a gully with a really yeah. sucker front pin. And Mac just hits, I don't know what it was. It was a head cover. Hits yeah. it to 10 feet, jars the birdie putt. And you, like you said, we both had a look at each other. We're like, is this really going to happen 2 years in a row here? I think at that point, that got him into the tie for the lead, or one back of
at
McIntyre
12,
that was
yeah.
at 14. So that was really, really, you know, that was a point where it got really exciting. And then, you know, we can go on to what happened from there.
Oh, God, nine. So he hits a shot. He's in not a great spot by any means, but he has a shot. He's in some stuff, as we'll say here, some hairy fescue. And
it was
like,
a bad lie. Like, we got a great look at it. It was an awful lie. And yeah, continue.
Well, and you know, I'm sorry to all golfers out there. I'm going to say the S word is a shank. Like, he just completely shanked it right. He got apparently a little bit of relief from the scoreboard, but it's not like he got to go put the ball in some yeah. great spot. That was Mickelson-esque, the flop he hit out of there. He could not have hit it any higher. It could not have landed any softer. Gives himself a super makeable putt, and he did make it. Like, I'm sorry, that putt should drop 99 times out of 99. I could not believe the way that thing lipped out, and it felt like that was that. You could see the disappointment palpable walking off there, the opportunity that he had, and it just kind of,
if you will.
Very nice.
So to go back to the lie,
yeah,
in the, because it was like on the sort of the wall of the greenside bunker,
mm-hmm,
where we were sitting there. When you're inside the ropes, you know, when you're inside the ropes, you have to take a lot of knees. You're doing a lot of T-bowing so that you're not blocking the paying patrons' views of things. And we got up to this lie, and I took a knee early, and the volunteer was like, "You took that knee too early, buddy. You're going to be crouching. They're going to really have to think about this one." And he was right, because Mac and his caddy had a really long conversation that included a lot of humming and hawing and a lot of listening for his caddy. Wasn't a ton of talking from his caddy, a lot of listening. And it finally, and I didn't really pick up on this, but you noticed that at the end of it, what did he kind of say?
I could have swore he said, "I'm doing it," or "I'm going for it," or something like that. It seems like the decision was between that or a much safer chunk to the front of the green, and then you're in a spot. And, you know, hey, man, like, I don't know if we should name names here, but there was one member of Canadian golf media that said he's going for everything today.
Younger.
He is not
nailed
going.
It.
Yeah,
Rick
our
Young.
Boy Rick Young, he said from the jump, he's going to fire at everything today. He's going to go for it. And I mean, you have to commend the attitude, but you do wonder, like, if he just chunks something short there. And look, you know what happens? He probably has to hit a really tight chip, and then he's probably left with a pretty similar putt.
That's
so
what
I don't
say.
Know.
Would a 5-footer for par have been fine? Like, that's the thing.
Exactly. It's so tough. So kudos to Mac for the attitude to do it. But man, it's tough. Like, that's going to be one of those what ifs forever for him.
And we were talking to Adam Stanley on the 11th tee box. We were kind of walk by him. We were chatting with him for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Mac said to his caddy as they walked by, that would have been an all-timer.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's played golf that's listened to this. Everyone knows you just have one of those moments that can just break in around. And he just never got it back on track.
Yeah.
I think he went two over from that point. Like, he just really wasn't able to get it back. And he was smoking hot to start. I think there was a point in the round when he had to wait on the short par four, where it was a long wait. Like, we got to the tee box and Sam Burns and Tommy Fleetwood were still sitting there, and he had just made a great birdie, and he was just kind of like strutting up there ready to go. He had to wait, hit a spinny three wood into the junk, ended up making a bogey. That one kind of stalled him a bit. He gets it back making that birdie. But yeah, man, it was just a tough one for him. And listen, he's a wonderful golfer. Seems like a wonderful guy. And I think he'll be in the mix. The way he putts, he's a wonderful putter. It was a tough one for him. He clearly, at Hamilton, this is one that he would have wanted the most. So we're thinking about you, Mac. Great tournament. And yeah, we'll move on. But it was a tough one for our boy yesterday.
Yeah, I have to sneak this in from the group. I echo all that. I did not even include this in our pre-show meeting. We love Ryan Fox. Foxy.
Foxy.
Rips it and rips it. There's no standing over it. There's no thinking. I mean, I'm going to assume he does his thinking before he gets up there, but that guy's as quick a player as I've seen. I don't know if it was that he knew the gallery that was around him and he had to kind of speed up because they weren't going to be overly, you know, quiet or patient for him necessarily, that it was all about Mac. But I knew the player. I was not unfamiliar with this game. Obviously, this guy is one on the World Tour. This is President's Cupper. Like, it's a legit good player. But, you know, I actually, very similar to the experience I had with Sam Burns a couple of years ago, where I left there saying, I'm a fan of this guy. It's like getting to see him firsthand, fan of Ryan Fox's now.
I will say, like, you know, when people say fast golfer, it's like there's pro fast.
Yes.
And then there's, like, you know, amateur fast, like person you play with fast, like me. Like, I'll go ahead and say it. Me. I'm fast. Yeah. I play fast. I would say that Ryan Fox is bordering on, like, guy you play with at Lakeview fast. Like, I was blown away by how fast he was playing. Like, we were like, we'd walk up to a tee and, like, you're like, okay, we got to get up here for the shots. And normally you have so much time when you're getting up to the tee, when you're inside the ropes, because these guys are farting around. They love to fart around.
Yeah.
You get up there, Fox is away. He was at a dress. You're like, oh shit, I got to stop moving. He doesn't care. hammers it. He was hitting the driver beautifully. I really was a really big fan of his game. So shout out Ryan Fox. That's a good drop by you. I'm glad you mentioned him.
Yeah, can't wait to see him at Royal Montreal this year. Something tells me he'll be there for the President's Cup. Mike Weir, good little show in front of him. He finished 10 under, right where Mac finished as well. So we've said it, impossible to repeat the highs that we've had of the last few years here at the RBC. But if this exact tournament would have happened 5 years ago, we would be talking about it as though it was one of the greatest iterations of our tournament since like the Mike Weir VJ duel. Honestly, the guy, a Ryder Cupper, wins it for his first ever win on the PGA Tour. His dad Doogie is crying. I'm a mower. He rings the bell. Bob from Oban. Like, there is nothing not to like about
a grass cutter.
Oh God, it was incredible. And then the quote he has after of McIntyre does of, to be honest, like, I did ask a couple other guys, they didn't want to do it for 1 week. When in doubt, call dad. Yeah. Oh my God. Amazing. So
I had a few thoughts on Bob McIntyre or Robert, but I like calling guys who names Robert, Bob. Yeah. I've done. I have an uncle who likes to go by Robert, Bob. Just call him Always. Bob. So I thought it was really, really amazing that on 18, the way that fog started to roll in when he was on the 18th tee, I honestly got chills. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And I believe Dottie even brought it up when they were on the green that she was like, this feels like, you know, it's in Scotland right now. Yeah. And it was kind of a cooler night. The wind had picked up. Like, it was really crazy how Scottish it felt out there. Like, it's you know, it's June here. It's usually hot. And it was hot as hell yesterday at the on Saturday at the Open. So it's like, you know, you kind of expect that. And it goes full Scotland. And listen, man, nothing was guaranteed. That Griffin played unbelievable golf on the back nine to get himself right in contention, was right with them, makes a great birdie on 18. And that par that McIntyre makes on 18, where he hammers that putt by, and he's got a tester of all testers coming back to keep his one stroke lead, going to 18, nails it. Yeah. And like, that's a hard hole. 18 is an impossible hole. I don't know if it comes across on TV, but when you're there, I'm like, how does anyone make a par here? This is because you can't blast it up far. Right. No. So you kind of have to have a 210 yard approach in, where you're taking out a 4 iron or a 5 iron or a 6 iron or whatever you're going to hit from down there, and uphill, thousands of people watching you. Like, that is a really intimidating shot. So good for Bobby Mack. He makes a stock par and away we go. The tears are coming out. I got sent a video last night on Twitter of him talking about his hometown. What's the game he played called?
Shinty. Yeah.
Shinty. That's it. Yeah. It's like a little, like, it's a Scottish game. It's kind of like hockey. And he was talking about how he like left golf to play Shinty. I'm like, this guy, I'm a big, big fan. And I knew about him. I was a fan of him. But now that he's got the win at our National Open and all this stuff with his dad, like, I'm a fan for life. I love this Bob McIntyre. A huge fan of the guy.
Yeah, impossible not to. And God, like, he just looks so Scottish out there. In a day where everybody's got rain gear up the wazoo, umbrellas left, right, and center, I don't even think he brought a quarter zip. I didn't see one on him all week. Just golf shirt season for that guy. I love to see it there. And I want to talk about the venue a little bit right now.
Yeah.
Hammer. Incredible. Hammer. Great merch, by the way.
Can we just, I just do want to quickly, before
ahead,
we move on, just give the having the dad thing is just crazy. And like, for to have your dad on the first PGA Tour win, like, I mean, there's been so much said about it.
Yeah.
But it is really crazy that happened. And he's got his old dad hauling his big tour bag around. And as a guy who walked that course 2 days here, that is not, you're not walking Lakeview out there. You're not walking a flat course. You're not exactly Tam O'Shanter. That is a daunting walk. Like, that stretch from 10, 11, 12 into 13 as hilly as I can think about any course in this area. Like, it is a, I mean, it's, you know, maybe not as, no, as I drop every course in the area, it's no Braben, but it's an extremely hilly course, right? Like, it's very up and down. And for an old guy like that, an old grass cutter, to be hauling around that bag, going up and down the hills, I was blown away by that. And just having your dad there, he's going to fly back to Oban and party with all the boys and girls. I can only imagine what that party's be like. I would like to be invited to that party, yes, with all them. So I just wanted to quickly shout out Doogie, because that's a hell of an accomplishment to get around that course as an older guy for four days walking. His dogs are barking today, but I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, woof, woof, woof. It's not quite Bob and Doug McKenzie, but Bob and Doogie McIntyre is pretty good for Canadian Open champs there. Father
really
and son.
Is.
You mentioned it, the course, super hilly. Good luck walking it out there. I would love to know the breakdown of the members that walk versus ride.
Oh, because
I know what I'd be doing, and wouldn't involve my feet all that often, let me tell you. But tremendous job. You and I didn't get a chance to get out there to look at the Reno beforehand. Yeah. You know, our other media obligations. But
yeah, unfortunately, media day was the Monday after the Leafs lost game 7 to the Boston Bruins. Tough one to be like, hey, Fabs, you mind if I get that one off there? That's a tough sell. So.
Yeah, pretty tough there. So we didn't get a chance to see it. Everything I heard was how remarkable it was. And I'll be honest, my first blush reaction to that was, it could get better.
Yeah.
I remember loving it when I got a chance to see it in 2019. We did get to play it that year. But the changes that were made to the course in terms of the, and it's funny because this stuff isn't overly penal for the tour players, but the amount of swales and collection areas around greens, I can only imagine some of the members' thoughts about it, but just full marks to everybody involved with the Reno there. I heard amazing things. And I'll be honest, sometimes you hear about a golf course that's been retooled and you go, okay, it doesn't feel that different. You move the green, you change the angle there. It felt different. There were definitely 3, 4, maybe 5 holes where you could visually just see and feel the difference of it from the last time we were there. And everything you hear from the players is that they love it, love it, love it.
So I echo everything you said. Wonderful job. I think it's a really, really special venue. And I think a huge reason why, and I know this is silly,
yeah,
but just having that 18th hole, man, that is just like, I know Immelman was talking about it on the broadcast a little bit about how like the natural amphitheaters with Valhalla, you talked about with Riviera, that's just as good as those. It's a perfect finishing hole where if you sit up on that all day, you get there on Sunday around, you know, get there around 1 o'clock and you sit there, you're going to see all the action of everyone coming in. You get to see them drive down there. You see the approach shot. You have an excellent angle of the putt. It's a perfect spot. And you have the room. I think, was it you that mentioned it to me? Where you have like the room for all the big hospitality rich people tents, but then you have all the room for the great unwashed as well, right in there. It's a perfect, perfect 18th hole. And for me, that's a reason why I would imagine they want it back there all the time.
Yeah.
Sure, the members don't, but God, that 18th hole is perfect for a finishing hole for an Open. It's awesome.
Yeah, and we are sure the members don't want it back every year. We're actually very sure of that.
We were bending the ear of a few volunteers while we were walking around
just,
out there.
Just quick story about that. It's so fitting that you are like, I wonder if this guy's going to invite us to play the course for free. And I'm like, I wonder if he'll tell me what the exact vote was on yay or nay for the Open.
That tells our two brains perfectly.
It really does. And that's why we're the perfect partners for this pod. truly is. We got to talk about the CT Pan Caddy story quickly. It's my favorite thing in the history of the world. RIP, not actually. Apparently he's okay. Fluff Cowan taking a nasty spill, which, as we said, does not surprise me. There were
awesome
certainly
out there. Hilly,
there were certainly a couple
slick
death areas. Yeah. Golf shoes on a slick cart path downhill. Not good. With
old
the heavy
guy,
bag.
Tour
yeah.
bag. Not a
tough.
Good combo.
There's no parts of this combo that exists to make him healthy. Apparently he's fine. So we could joke about it now. So they pull a guy out of the stands, just local boy. He looked so ready wearing his Masters t-shirt. He looked like he was absolutely ready to go. And then they pull him off the bag after a couple holes because somebody from like the caddy services come. And then some guy who knew CT Pan from the Canadian tour days, the part of this that I think is the funniest is him driving to the course, and they're like, hey buddy, it's the Canadian Open, like you can't just drive your car here. And he's like, I'm gonna caddy. And they're like, no, the tournament's already started. Like, can you imagine him, the amount of different people he had to explain this to and then get walked into this place and okay, you can park your car here. Like, that is the part of this story that I cannot get enough of. CT Pan's wife was like, hey, you want me to carry it? And he the little telling that he's like, thanks, but no thanks to that. Also, with given everything else that's happening around him there, it's just an incredible story. I love it. It's hilarious. Yeah,
that's just quintessential. Like, golf makes golf great. Like, there's just no other sport where something like that could happen. Right. Like, it's just, that's what makes it amazing. And the one guy they had that was like, listen, I'm not going to typecast, but like, could you find a little more athletic guy?
Yeah.
Like,
stuff.
Like, guy couldn't get the bib on him. Like, how is he going to tell you what club to hit? He can't get the bib over his head. Like, Jesus.
Well, that's the other part of it is like, I'm assuming these guys just carried the bag and shut up, which is what CT Pan said when his wife was caddying. So it's not, I mean, it is or isn't that much of an insult.
Something about their relationship, too. Yeah.
Take
if I told
Allie
to carry the bag and shut up, it might not go so well.
Yeah, yeah. Just carry the bag would be a tough sell for my wife. The shut up part, we're not even going to get there. But I think when you look at it, it's, I love to think that that guy was uber confident. And he's like, looks a little left to right here. And it's just like, no talking. Please stop.
Bye, Iron Man. Well, you're fired.
I love it. It's like he's giving him tips for his game. He's like, I think you should just chunk it up the right side. Then you can slice it right onto the green. It'll be perfect. It'll be great for you. Yeah, I imagine CT Pan didn't want that.
So I have a couple quick shout outs before we go, Gunner. Do you have anything
please.
Else?
Okay, there's one more.
Yeah,
we have to talk about something that there's no way they showed this on the broadcast, and we overheard it at the wrinkle.
Oh,
regarding the most famous Canadian Open champ and honorary Canadian Rory McIlroy. We got to talk about this. This is hilarious.
So we were on, that was on 6 green or 5, whatever the short par.
I think it was six, but
we were
whatever,
standing around there with, not to name drop. Oh, you can pick up these names that I dropped. Standing there with James Duffy and Bob Weeks. And, we were all, it was a tense moment because Mac was rolling. And we were afraid that he was going to keep dropping shots, drop a shot at an easy hole. We didn't want that. Wanted to keep the momentum going after a birdie. And it was kind of quiet. Everyone was, and a bit of levity comes flying over from the 13th hole where hundreds of drunkards are chanting, Rory single, Rory single.
Well, we hear it and I'm first hearing Rory something. I'm like, what are they chanting? And then you clue in. And once you've clued in, you can't unhear it. Like, there's no way it could have been anything else. That was just hilarious. I loved every second of that. It was so funny. I needed to get that
glad
in here.
Glad you brought that up.
There's
Rory
no way.
Single.
There's God loves CBS. There's no way they put that on TV. There's just no way. So, thoroughly enjoyed that.
So, the first thing I wanted to shout out was the boys and girls of Hamilton, people out there putting on a show with the merch. Every single guy was like, this is the time to wear the A hat, the A shirt, like the hats I saw floating around Hamilton. There was just so many incredible rope hats.
Yep.
So many incredible hats from people's home courses.
Yep.
I just love that kind of stuff. And I thought people put on a show with the merch. What was the one guy that you saw with like six different golf courses?
He had a Harbortown Golf Links visor, Torrey Pines polo, and then he had some other like cues, or it was like it was a jacket that was unzipped. He was like trying to like purposely have it unzipped enough to show off both logos. It was great. I'd do the exact same thing. Zero qualms for me on that. It was hilarious. I loved it.
I cracked out my finest Legacy Red shirt for Saturday. I'm like, and my finest hat, where I'm like, I got to wear the Toronto Blue Jays golf hat that I have, which is a wonderful bucket. Got to crack them out. It's a big day. Got to wear the best hat you can. Yep. And God, did everybody show out? I was really impressed. The fits were on fire there.
Well, and hey, I like to think that you made this happen.
Mm.
We both have one in our possession now. We got a Canadian Open rope hat. So good job.
Well done, Levelwear.
Well
finally.
Done. Finally.
And the last thing that I will say, and I know you echo this and you can jump on the back before we go here.
Yep.
Just a massive shout out to everyone at Golf Canada. I've said this, I think, at the end of this pod every year, but just, you know, we'll say Dan Pino, everybody yep. else that, you know, is really involved with giving us access to stuff, you know, not just Dan Pino, but the golf media as a whole. We're rookies. We're new to the game. And I cannot say how welcome I feel by every single person. It's an awesome feeling to be able to go in there and feel like you belong. No one looks at you funny. No one is rude to you. It's just, it's a wonderful group of people. And I just feel really blessed to be a part of it. So I just wanted to give a huge shout out to Golf Canada, the golf media in general. It's the best. There's nothing I look forward to more every year than the RBC Canadian Open. And it did not disappoint again. So just a huge shout out to everybody involved.
I couldn't echo that more myself. I mean, the folks at Golf Canada specifically, they've yeah. welcomed us with open arms, but absolutely. Golf media in general, if I was naming names, we'd be here for 6 hours, yeah. but to everybody that's had conversations with us, showing us the ropes, mm-hmm. showing us inside the ropes,
yeah, yeah.
showing us how to get in there, shepherding us through, it's been an honor. And it always feels like a national open. And I think that's honestly the most important thing. We tomorrow are going to play the site of our next national open at
Can't
TPC
wait.
Toronto.
Can't
we will
wait.
Have a US Open pod preview coming up for you in a couple weeks. And yep. we will give you a little preview of what next year's Open Championship site looks like, the Canadian Open. We don't have a preview for what's going on overseas. We got to go to our boy Big Shot Bob for that. McKee, I love you. Everybody at Golf Canada.
I'm just a grass cutter.
Heartbroken for Mac, happy for Connors, and really happy for Big Shot Bob. It's a golf show with the golf guys. Greg Cuddy and Sam McKee.